Here's our Raptors reporter live from Vegas, Josh Lewenberg. What's up, Josh?
Not too much, Brian. How you guys doing?
We're doing well. Do you think Kyle Lowry would answer if he likes green peppers?
You'd have a better shot at that.
He's going to answer. He'll give you words, but those words will probably be, I don't know. He doesn't know which pepper he likes.
Kyle, right. have you had pizza? I don't know.
What was that all about when he was asked about Kawhi? Like, paint us a picture. So I'm assuming it was all Toronto media that was surrounding him.
Yeah, it was Dave Festchuk, Michael Grange, and myself, and we tried just about every way you can think of to get something out of Kyle Lowry, and I was the winner there. I asked him about DeMar DeRozan, and he gave me something that was sort of sounding like a coherent sentence, but outside of that, everything was, I'm here for USA Basketball, and this was not a surprise. We tried talking to him yesterday. He declined to speak altogether. In fact, it was actually a pretty skillful display of avoiding us. The way it works is after these practices, you get like a 30-minute media window where it's sort of a free-for-all. And Kyle was the only guy yesterday who didn't speak to the media. He did everything else that he could think of. He was stretching. He was talking to people. But he did say he would speak today, and we expected him to speak. It's what he said that was sort of the bigger question. So we've seen this from him before, where if he doesn't want to talk about a certain topic, he'll change it to another. It was interesting to me that DeMar DeRozan, the guy who was actually traded and would theoretically have more of a reason to avoid us, was especially cooperative yesterday. He gave me a one-on-one. We talked for a while. He was great. And Kyle, the guy who wasn't traded, has chosen to approach it this way. But that's Kyle for you. And this wasn't a surprise, as I said. I often call him a rebel without a cause. Sometimes he's just difficult for the sake of being difficult. So it's hard to say if this was Kyle just being Kyle, or if maybe he was trying to send some kind of message to a team that just traded his best friend.
Well, that may very well be the case. I would assume it more than likely is. But I think Kyle Lowry needs to get over himself real quick, because I don't have a problem with DeMar DeRozan being upset, being angry. He can take as much time as he wants to. I would understand if Lowry is disappointed. I would think he would. We all know about the relationship between Kyle and DeMar. But this was just, it came off as so unnecessary and so childish, quite frankly. I mean, this is a guy who is a big part of the puzzle up here in Toronto. They're paying him a fortune, an absolute fortune. DeMar's not his teammate anymore. Kawhi is his teammate. This would have been so easy for him to just come out, make a statement, say that he's going to miss DeMar, say that he doesn't really know Kawhi, but he's looking forward to playing with him and getting to know him, and then we move on. But because Kyle wasn't willing to do that, now it's going to morph into a bigger conversation about whether or not he's sour, will he be acceptant of Kawhi Leonard in the locker room? Because Kyle, it's his room. I mean, Kawhi has got to find a way to work with Kyle, but it's got to be a two-way street. Lowry's got to be willing to work with Kawhi Leonard.
That's the biggest thing, Brian, because he's the guy now in that locker room for 6 years now. It had been a sort of a co-leadership situation with Lowry and DeRozan at the top, and especially now over the last few years, as this has become a very young team, guys look to those two all-stars. Now you remove one of them from the room, and yeah, I mean, DeMar was a quiet leader, but he was still a leader, a well-respected guy, and a guy, for better or for worse, would always face the media and face whatever. I mean, he would always be accountable after a win or after a loss, even on days when Lowry didn't feel like it. So in a lot of ways, DeMar was sort of a way to deflect for Kyle. Now, as you mentioned, you bring in a guy like Kawhi, who certainly, if he's healthy, he's an exceptional player, but he's not very vocal. He's not going to be a leader in that regard. And even if he was, he's still a new guy on the team. They're going to need Kyle to step up here. And that's why I think, from a team perspective, this was probably pretty disappointing. Certainly not what Masai Ujiri wanted to hear today. And I've got to say, I mean, I expect more from Kyle Lowry, and I expected more from Kyle Lowry in this case, because he's a guy that should get this more than most, because he's lived the business. We all say it's a business. He's lived it for the last 10 years. He's been traded. he's seen other good friends get traded. Remember, he was just as close with Rudy Gay 5 years ago as he is with DeMar DeRozan. Now Rudy Gay is the godfather of his oldest son, and he got over that pretty quick. Ultimately, I figured DeMar DeRozan is about winning more than anything else, and I think most people believe this team is a whole lot better now, theoretically, at least on paper, than they were 10 days ago. So you figure Lowry would see that, appreciate that, and while, yeah, it's tough to lose your buddy, you think he'd be all about the bottom line and the business at hand. So I'm a little bit surprised today that he wasn't.
You know, Josh, meantime, DeMar DeRozan is still clearly stinging from the trade. And your interview with him yesterday was really powerful. I mean, he's not holding back, and he's devastated.
No, and that bit on Masai Ujiri yesterday, too, that was as strong as it comes. He did not mince words when he was asked if he plans on having any kind of relationship with the Raptors president ever again. He said, no, flat out, it's done for me. It's done. And, I mean, they were not going to have a very much of a relationship for the foreseeable future, and that's understandable. It's a guy that had just traded him. It's the GM, president of a different team. You don't have a relationship with that guy immediately, of course. Dwayne Casey, I think, is in the same boat, having been fired by Masai. But to rule out having any kind of contact with that guy forever is pretty strong. DeMar is hurt. He's clearly taken this very, very personally. And a lot of people are critical of that, and I get it. But sort of whether or not you agree with how he's taking this situation, or whether or not you even like the trade, you sort of understand and feel for a guy in this situation who he's dealt with a lot, both personally and now professionally over the last year. He maybe foolishly believed that he had earned the right to, if not be a Raptor for life, to get a heads up before being traded. But as we know, and now as DeMar knows, that's just not how the business works. And I keep saying this about Masai, is while, yeah, maybe he could have and maybe he should have kept DeMar in the loop a little bit more, the Raptors are one of the NBA's biggest close-to-the-chest organizations as it is. They don't leak anything. And while that means not leaking things directly to the media, it also means not leaking things or oversharing with players and agents, because that's how information gets out, through players and through agents. So Masai was not going to risk tipping off other teams by giving DeMar that extra heads up. He would have had no incentive to keep the fact that he was being traded to himself. So I get both sides of this. I think the reality, though, is there's no easy way to break up with someone. There's no easy way to fire somebody or trade somebody. However, change was going to happen here, and it seemed like an inevitability at this point that change was going to happen in some way. However it was going to happen, somebody was going to be upset over this, and now they're just going to have to get over it and move past it.
With Josh Lewenberg, I wonder if another part of the issue with DeMar was how, just prior to the trade, Nick Nurse was doing interviews and was telling everyone that he was going to make DeMar a better player, and that DeMar was going to buy in defensively, and he wasn't going to hide DeMar anymore, which essentially just accentuated the weaknesses of DeMar DeRozan. And then like a week later, he gets flipped. You caught up with Nick Nurse. He's down there in Vegas. He's got to be happy with this, right? I mean, I know that the team is dealing with turnover and change, and there's a lot of uncertainty, but he's got, for a guy who knows that defensively they've got to get better and something has to change in terms of player personnel with the playoffs, how has Nick Nurse responded to the news over the past week?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there, and there's two things that sort of stood out about the conversation and stand out about Nurse in general. He mentioned back a few weeks ago after he got hired that one of the questions Masai Ujiri asked in the interview is, how would you handle, or would you be okay with a potentially big roster-altering move between now and the regular season? How would you adjust to it? And Nick's answer, I think, in part, helped him get the job. He said, listen, I spent all these years in the D-League where the roster changes almost every day with guys getting called up and called down. Adaptability is what he's all about. So I think that's one of the reasons why he was hired. That's one of the reasons now where he's able to look at this and say, okay, well, some of those principles that he was still planning on employing the offensive changes, the defensive changes, all of that still applies. But going back to that kind of overarching story when he got hired, the idea of thinking outside of the box and being unique, being an innovator, that just became a whole lot easier for him. Because let's face it, an innovator is only as good as the pieces he has to innovate with. And while you might want to play a certain way, if you don't have the personnel to play that way, it's probably not going to go very well. With all due respect to DeMar DeRozan and Jakob Poeltl, both good players, DeMar is a two that primarily covers twos and maybe threes and not very well a lot of the time. And Jakob Poeltl is a five who primarily guards fives. In exchange for those two players, the Raptors got two guys, both of whom can play and defend at least three positions. Both of them have been named to all NBA defensive teams before. They can both shoot the three ball. So all of a sudden, there are a lot of creative and unique lineup combinations that Nick Nurse can throw out there, a lot of different things that he can do. And what he told me is that offensively, things are more or less the same. Kawhi can do a lot of the things that DeMar can, maybe a little bit more, and maybe he's a little bit more versatile. But where he sees the biggest room for improvement now after the trade is defensively, where they plan on being a lot more aggressive, looking to create turnovers and get more possessions. And, of course, they have maybe the best defender in the NBA and one of the best perimeter defenders of all time. And I don't even think that's an exaggeration. That's how good Kawhi is when he's healthy. They have that piece to work with now.
Enjoy it out there, Josh. We'll do it again down the road. Thanks, man.
All right, guys. Take care.
Josh Leuenberger, Raptors reporter live from Vegas, catching up with Nick Nurse, one-on-ones with DeMar, in the scrum with Kyle Lowry. Lots going on.